same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice of the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Let's all stand. Let's sing, go to key of C. I've decided to follow Jesus. Amen. You see? Yep. 382, I think you know. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You
could save my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Save my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Amen. You heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good. Amen. He did that. Healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. Heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the roaring in the mulberry tree, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Move on, brother, move on, sister, this is God's move. Where the fire is falling, move on, brother, move on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on.
I can hear the roaring in the mulberry tree, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Move on, brother. Move on, sister.
Amen.
Y'all got this building sitting over on one side. What's all y'all doing over here? Lily, oh, Lily's on that side. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be in the middle of the week. Good to have everybody back.
Amen.
Well, almost back. Aaron's harnessing up, so we'll make a few announcements. Good to have our visitor. Brother, you been here before?
Yes, sir.
I thought you had. Yes, sir. Could you tell us who you are?
I'm Brother John's brother. Older brother.
I thought that. Oh, younger brother.
He's my bigger brother, isn't he?
Bigger, but yeah, I understand. Look, the one behind you, that's my baby brother back there in the back, that big tall guy. I know what you're talking about, but good. I thought you'd been here before. Good to have you with us. Man, we almost got the whole family. Well, yeah, Rebecca's back. We got the whole family here. Well, praise the Lord. Can you sing? I thought you could. Get up here and sing us a song. Let's be seated. Let another duet sing a song for us.
Yeah. And did anybody else have a special that I mentioned earlier? Okay. Bless you. Well,
I don't know if John wants to join me up here. He can if you want to. What song you want to sing? But I don't even know if you know the song, He's Able. This has been my favorite song. I was in Trinidad, and I heard them singing it once, and it was just the Spirit of God just come down on that song. It's always been my favorite.
Amen.
And it's He's Able.
Amen.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He
is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
And we turn it around.
I am able, more than able,
amen,
to accomplish what concerns me today.
By the grace of God,
I am able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. I am able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. I am able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Amen. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Sound like stereo. Amen.
All right, let's stand our feet. Now, remember, Saturday we're going to have, at 3 o'clock, we'll have our youth service. Everyone is invited, but it will be catered for the youth. We'll be having hot dogs and slaw and chili and chips and macaroni and cheese and drinks. So bring them all. Come hungry. Everybody come. 3 o'clock. Brother Jack Duff will be with us. Just talked to him a few minutes ago. He said he's really looking forward to coming. One service on Sunday. It'll be regular, normal service on Sunday. And then we'll be able to fellowship maybe a little bit afterwards. So good to have Brother Durrett with us today. And all them, they got something about smile. Y'all just smile. They just all get the smile. Rebecca comes in, she's just smiling. They all got that smile. So good to have you with us. And the Lord bless each and every one of you. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Aaron comes to speak for us. Remember this weekend, be in prayer, that we'll get something from the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
This evening, have your seats. Brother Boyd, what key you sing My God is Real in?
G.
Y'all help me out. I'm going to sing. You going to help me too?
No.
Amen. How many know God's real?
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking about trying to get everything ready this evening, and I didn't get to leave work when I wanted to, so put everything a little bit behind today, but I made it.
Amen.
So
amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing. G.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places that I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing. Yes, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scold, all can go on and leave me alone, but as for me, I'll take God's part. Them in my heart. Yes, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Let's all stand. Let's all stand.
Yes, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and make me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we need. When He's real with you one time, you ever get to see that the reality of Jesus Christ, you're never the same. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. While you're standing, we'll look to Ephesians chapter 4. And so, I want to thank a wonderful brother of mine in Christ and he gifted me this new tablet, and now we're trying to see this thing if it'll do what it's supposed to. So, that's what we're in the back door, John. Richard's taking offense to that. So, Richard to take offense to anything, he will try his best.
All right.
Yeah, brother Durrett. See, you got a brother. That's my brother back there. So, yeah, you always got a older brother that's always got troubles. And Richard's going to say, yeah, he's standing up front. Amen. God bless y'all. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. So, anyway, we're, our brother gave me this tablet, and then I tried to figure out how to make it work, and they said it's not going to work the way I wanted it to. So, So we're just going back. They're actually going to control the quotes. So one of these days, maybe we get this thing figured out. I told Brother Andre when he was up at Brother Andre's church, I told him, I said, I'm thank the Lord one of these days we will never go to a place. We will never have to worry about technology. We will travel as a thought. There won't be any microphones, no tablets, no cell phones, no computers. We will never have to worry about any of this stuff before. Everything that come off the tree of knowledge will be gone, and we won't ever have to worry about it. And that's going to be one wonderful thing when we're going to go to a place. We're going to live in a place for 1,000 years. We won't have to worry about it. We'll be free from that. So the electronic leashes, as they're called sometimes. So we just appreciate the Lord and all his blessings on us. And bring you greetings from Brother Andre and the church. And we had a real good time up there. And I certainly appreciate them. And Lord willing, we're going to try to get him down here sometime. And I told him, I said, we might just have to go up there and just kidnap him and just drag him down here. But I know they may be here when Levi graduates, so we'll just have to see. But praise the Lord. Amen. But yes, we won't be long, thank the Lord. Levi's supposed to graduate in May, a few more turns of the clock, and a few more turns of the earth, and next thing you know, he'll be graduating, so. Amen. I'll be halfway there. So, but appreciate the Lord and all of his blessings on us. And so I don't want to keep you standing too long, but let's just get right into the scripture tonight. And I also wanted to say that I heard what Wade said Sunday, and most of y'all were very good about that. I told him that y'all followed directions very well. He said not to tell me I was preaching. I was out of town. Not to tell me that I was preaching tonight. And most of y'all done a real good job on that. So I want to commend y'all on that because.
Wait, did we have some backsliders?
Well, I already knew, but I had some people still come up and told me that. But I already knew, so. So, but anyway, it's good. But appreciate the Lord. And enjoyed Sunday, even though I wasn't here. But I got to hear, I've got to listen to about 1.5 of it. So, Sunday school was good. I enjoyed Sunday. Amen. It was good. Amen. And just appreciate the Lord. And the Word's always good to us.
Amen.
Amen. Got plenty to feed on. Amen. So let's just speak to the author before we read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 11. Very familiar scripture here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for being able to gather in your house, Lord. Lord, to put all the cares of the world aside, Lord, all the things we go through in a day, Lord, and Lord, there's many things that come against us during the day, but Lord, but we've come into this place of refuge, Lord, that we can just set all those things aside, Lord, that they're not a hindrance here, but Lord, we just come, Lord, to feast upon your word this evening, Lord, and we just pray that you just anoint us, Father, this evening, Lord, just help us get out of the way, anoint the speaker and the hearers to, and Lord, it's not one or the other, Lord, but it's you.
Amen.
Lord, I can't listen, Lord. It takes the Holy Ghost, Lord, to speak. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Lord, we know it takes the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, we can physically hear the words, Lord, through our five senses, Lord, but that it doesn't do us anything, any good, Lord, unless it's the Holy Ghost that comes and quickens the word. And Father, we can speak, but we don't know what is needed, which direction to go. But Lord, we just yield ourselves to you that you help us this evening. Lord, bless each one that has a need. Lord, we've heard all the requests that's mentioned, all the hands that's been raised. Lord, you know each need, each heart, each desire. And we just pray that you just bless each one. We commit all those to you. Bless this service. Bless the bride around the world. Lord, there's many that have needs, Lord, but Lord, I'm just so thankful, Lord, that we're able to do our little part to help the bride, help our brothers and sisters along the way. Lord, one of these days we realize that there's coming a time, all the things that we've done, many things we do in this world, Lord, will never amount to anything. But what we do for the kingdom of God is eternal. And Lord, let's just be mindful of that. Lord, lay us, laying up treasures, Lord, that are eternal. Lord, to bless one, just to get one into the end of the kingdom. Lord, Brother Ram said to be attached to that soul for eternity. What a great thing. And Father, we just want to be faithful in all that you've called us to do. Lord, just bless us tonight. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, 4 and verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but walking the truth, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even Christ. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. God bless you tonight. And you saw my title, the effectual working of the body of Christ. And you know, there's many things that we can look at tonight, but you know, there's in Ephesians chapter 3, brother, the prophet, the apostle Paul was speaking here in Ephesians chapter 3, and I just want to read this. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as a right afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the grace, by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is for your glory. Amen. So, speaking of here, Paul speaking, talking about the effectual working of his power, and it's interesting, you know, Paul's speaking to the Ephesians, and he begins to talk about the mystery and understanding what his commission was to preach the mystery of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And it's so amazing that to read what he was talking about, how all through the ages nobody saw these things, but it come to this time, and God began to make himself known and explain to the Gentiles that they should be fellow heirs of the promise of God and know who we are and know what God has called us to, and begin to break these things down. And the apostle Paul standing there, and you can imagine seeing these things and understanding all of the prophets and all the ones down through history, all the ones that God spoke to and began to reveal himself to, but he never revealed himself the way he did to Paul, began to speak unto the Gentiles for us to understand who we are and what God, the plan of God, the promise of God all the way down through time, what God brought to us. All the things that took place came down to our day. This is for us. And Paul begins to speak of that. And when he began to understand that, he stood there and said, I'm the least of all saints. to understand the position that he was in and know where he came from and know what kind of life that he lived. Now, you could, you know, as far as a man, he could stand there and you couldn't put a finger on his life because he lived such a holy, righteous life according to the law. But knowing what he done to the Christians, because when he had an experience with God and began to understand all those people that he prosecuted and persecuted and he allowed to be put to death, all of that was Jesus Christ in flesh in front of him. And he didn't realize what he was doing. And, you know, as he stood there and he said he was a blasphemer, but he done all those things without, you know, in ignorance and all these things that he begins to talk about. And what amazing thing that Paul, a great man that Paul was, and but he began to understand how, you know, because Brother Bram said, you know, you don't, revelation doesn't puff you up. It doesn't raise you up, but it makes you humble. The more that God begins to reveal to you, you become humble. And here he is. He was the least of all of them, the grace that God, because when he looked at the life that he lived and what kind of person he was, the amount of fold grace that was presented to Paul in his life, that God gave him the revelation to bring to the Gentiles to make known all these scriptures and all these things that was made known in our day. And he began to speak of this, and what a great man, but he understood, wow, what a great thing, but what a humbling experience it was. What an awesome responsibility that he was given. But he said, I was given this to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. And what a great man, and we are the beneficiaries of the great work that the Apostle Paul done and laying out the scripture and all these things that's been, and each one of them had to do their own part. But you know, it was the power of God in his life that he began to do these things. And you know, we look many times and we think about the power that God has, the power of God. And Brother Branham said, you know, there's only two powers that are out in the world. There's only two powers. And he said, one of them is the Holy Ghost. And he said, the other one is intellectual powers. And you know, that's the one that the devil wants to work through. He wants to work through intellect. He wants to work through your mind. He wants to pervert what God has said, because that's the only avenue that he has. And the only avenue that Satan ever has is what you allow him to have. He's bound by your confession, by your profession, by your testimony. You bound him. He's only allowed because he's only, because see, Brother Ram said that's exactly what took place in the Garden of Eden. He had intellectual powers and he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and began to speak to her on the word. And when he got her from behind the word, he got her off the foundation that she was planted on. When she got off of the foundation of the word, then he could talk to her and could convince her of what was not right. But she began to believe in that. And not only did she believe that, but she began to walk in that. And then all of a sudden, you know, because when it became into the womb of her mind that was true, what Satan had told her, what the serpent told her was true, that you're going to bring children this way, and how all this is going to be so great. I'm coming to this great thing. Look what I'm going to do for God. And not realizing God had already told her, listen, you stay in there. You wait on God. There's a place for you to come to, and you wait on God, and he's going to bring you to that place. Well, because, you know, when God began to speak to Adam and Eve in the garden, you know what? The serpent wasn't there. Satan wasn't there. He didn't, you know what? Because when he began to speak to them, that wasn't, it had nothing to do with any of that. But then all of a sudden, Satan, hey, I got something to tell you. Well, you know what? God was the one that was doing the speaking. And it was just Adam and Eve. And God, that was the oneness. And then all of a sudden, I got something. Well, you know, you know that the devil is telling you the truth when he's talking. Because he's got, you know, just like when Brother Branham talking about when Satan come to him, when Sharon Rose and Sister Hope passed, you know, when he began to speak to him about what was taking place, you know, he had it. That was his inroad. Just like he told Eve. Well, we know the Lord said that you shouldn't touch this over here. This is not something you should touch. But let me tell you, I got an inside track. I got a tip for you. And so just like Brother Branham out there, you know, you said he was a healer. You said he was a good God. But you know what? Your baby's dying. Your wife's dying. And you pray and you pray. And you know what? He turns his back on you. And he was standing there saying, you know, I was about ready to agree with him. But you know what? He said the Spirit come to him and remembered the word. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Hey, you know what? It wasn't mine to begin with. God gave it to me, and God has the ability to take it away. And who am I to question His wisdom and how He handles it? And so that was the thing that Eve had a problem with, when she wanted to use her intellectual ability instead of standing on God-given wisdom. What was it? It was the word that was preached to her. To stand on the word, and listen, you stand there, but when she got it in her mind that there was a better way, that Satan had a better way, that the serpent had this new idea, this new revelation that he was going to share with her, that she was going to take a part of something, when she got a hold of that, and it's like, you know what, this is so great because I got something to do. And it looks so good, and it looks so great, and it's just so exciting. And it's contrary to the word. And when she done that, then all of a sudden, you know, then when she received that in her mind, then she was able to commit an act that was immoral. That's right. It was contrary to the word. Amen. But you know, she didn't see that. And when Adam came to the scene, you know, when he seen what took place, and then he all, you know, took a part of that. Right. When he partook and realized what was taking place, he should have not had anything to do with that. Amen. But because of his love, you know, they both went away from God. They broke the commandments of God. But here it was that when they done all these things, God made a way for them. God made a way for them to come back. But you know, the wonderful thing is when God knows exactly what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. He knew what was going to take place, and he already had a, because the Lamb stood from the slain from the foundation of the world, he already had a way made. He knew what was going to take place. What a wonderful thing that even though, you know, because many times we'll get in our human existence, in our life, we get so bound by things that have taken place and we allow the devil to get into situations and things happen. And you know what? We get so bound by the things that have taken place. But you know what? Thank God, God already knew about that. God knew what you was going to be at. God knew all your faults and failures and all your problems and all your disappointments and your heartaches and everything. And you know what? God still loved you. God still made a way for you because you're always a part of Him. If you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, praise God, I always was a part of Him. And it doesn't really matter what takes place. I can't be lost because if God thought of me in the eternals, then you know what? I'll always be there. And that's what I'm going back to. I've come from God. I'm going back to God. I can't get away from that. I may stumble, I may fall, I may fail, but praise God, there's a way that's been made for me, and all I got to do is walk in that. Even when Brother Branham was standing there talking about Brother Ramsey in the Hebrew series, even when a child of God falls and won't go back, when you're made it, when you're still a child of God, no matter where you go or what you do, you're still not lost. But there's a punishment that comes. You're still corrected. There's still chastisement. But praise God, He doesn't do away with you. The love of God is greater than all of our sins, all of our problems, all our heartaches, whatever comes our way. The love of God is greater than that. And the power of God is because through the new birth, we have received this power that has come inside of us. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, we know the scripture. He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And he said, "Then you'll begin to be witnesses unto me, and all throughout Judea and all Samaria and all the different places, the uttermost parts of the world." So he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And we know that the Holy Ghost was given for a reason, you know, because when the Holy Ghost has come, he is our advocate, he is our guide. He's our propitiation. All these things he's our seal. All these things that have been given to us by the Holy Ghost. And we also receive power. And he said, you will be led into all truth. He's here to lead and guide you into all truth. And because if you know where you're standing, then you have power. You have authority to when you know where you stand. Because many times if you don't know where you're standing, if you don't understand, then you know what? You don't have a way. You don't know what to do. Because, you know, one of the worst problems that people have is inaction. You know, you listen to Brother Branham talk about, you know, he was standing there, and, you know, and the Lord got on to Brother Branham many times because, you know, all he wanted to do was just stand there and say, well, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he said, what are you going to say about it? What are you going to say about it? You know, there was a time Brother Branham had the vision or the angel of the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him and told him, said, listen, he said, you're getting ready to be tried. There's a trial coming. And he began to speak, you know, he began to think about it, and he, you know, had people praying. He was trying to figure out what was going to take place. And you know, and when he went through all that, he didn't know what was going to take place, but he was thinking on that, and he kept meditating on that. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, he was in that meeting that night, and he was up there, and he seen that young man and young woman up there in the balcony acting immorally, and he kept telling them to stop. And you know what? That man just looked at him and just kept on. And he said, you know, this is a house of God. This is a meeting. And he said, you shouldn't act like that. And, you know, if you're going to act like that, you need to leave. But you know what? That man was arrogant in his approach and kept doing that. And it didn't change anything. But you know what? Then the Lord spoke to Brother Branham and said, whatever you say, whatever you say will happen. And he said, now it lays in your lap. What will you say when that person comes up before you? Their souls are in your hands. What will you do? And you know, Brother Branham said he could have spoke, and both of them, they'd have carried both of them out. They'd have both dropped dead in the floor, and they'd have carried them out. But you know, Brother Branham said, you think the love of God, and he said, I forgive you. Because that was the love of God. That was the Spirit of God being made known. My. And they said, you know, they got up and left. But he realized that was the test. What would we do in that situation? Because sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to flex my muscle. But, you know, we don't approach it with humility. Sometimes we don't put ourselves in the other person's shoes. If we were in that position, what would you want somebody to do for you? That's grace. That's mercy. When you don't deserve it, but you show it to somebody. See, when the Holy Ghost comes and we receive that power. See, then it gives us the other thing. It gives us boldness. You know, Brother Ram was speaking there. He said, you know, he said they were a bunch of cowards up in the upper room wondering if what was going to take place, what was going to happen next. What, you know, they were all scared, you know, looking out the windows and peeking around the doors. And, you know, they're so scared of what was going to take place because, you know what, we don't know what's going on. Right. But praise God when the Holy Ghost came. Yeah. And, you know, they had to wait. He said, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Well, you know, when the Holy Ghost came, he didn't tell them what was going to take place. He never told Peter and them. He said, listen, y'all go wait in the upper room, and you need to wait 10 days. And what's going to be the sign is this rushing mighty wind's going to blow in, and tongues of fire is going to split and lay upon all of you, and then you'll know you got the Holy Ghost. No, he told them, he said, y'all go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And so they didn't know what they were waiting on. They sat there waiting. Well, what is it? Well, I think we might just take it by faith. He said, well, you know, I think we might have. We've been here 9 days. I think we pretty much got it. How much longer do you think we need to wait? But you know what? It never changed who they were. They never had a change. Why? Because 9 days in, you know what? I'm sure they probably had a little bit of relief because, you know what? So far, we've been here 9 days and nothing happened to us. We were probably a little more scared the first 2 days, wondering what was going on. But you know what? The Romans ain't showed up now. It's been 9 days. We might have flown under the radar a little bit. But you know what? They still was wondering what was going to take place. But you know what? They still was waiting and tarrying for the answer from heaven. What the answer was that they were waiting for. Whatever Jesus told them, they were still waiting on that. But praise God, when the answer came, when the Spirit came, you know what? They didn't have to worry about whether they had it or not. They didn't have to worry about it. Why? Because they were so afraid and so scared and so nervous and so upset by things. But you know, when they got full of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost fell upon them that day, you know what? They got so happy, they got so drunk in the Spirit that they staggered out the door like drunk people. And you know what? They did not care what anybody thought of them. They didn't care what anybody said to them. Why? Because they had something. They had the assurance of the word had come in, because all of a sudden what they had heard for 3.5 years became a living reality to them. And then when they walked out the door, Peter could stand up there with the 11 and began to speak to them and said, listen, we're not drunk like you think they are. We're not this, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And now this is the manifestation of what you've read all those years that you've been sitting in the temple reading the books, and all the priests and everybody have been standing around, all the rabbis and the Sadducees, everybody have stood around, looked at this, all this. But let me tell you, now's the manifestation of that. You're standing in the front of the manifestation of that. And he said, it is preached unto you, because this is for you and your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it was the Holy Ghost that began to make a boldness and began to preach and began to identify the word to them. And when they begin to hear the word, then they begin to hear the word in their own tongues. They begin to understand what God had said to them, and they begin to understand. Then when it began to catch on to them, then they were quickened by that. They were pricked by the word, and they come forth to the apostles and ask, you know, how do we get saved? And they were received and were baptized and received the Holy Ghost. And it was 3,000 added at one time. As a brother was talking about, he said, the amazing thing about that, you imagine there's 3,000 people come in and they all of a sudden they all want to get baptized. Well, how many people were there? Well, there was 120 in the upper room. Well, if half of them were men, you got 60 people. If you take half of them, you got 3,000 people trying to get baptized. Each person. So you got 50 people out there, 60 people out there in the water baptizing 50 people a person. So you know what? It wasn't just them coming and preaching the word. Well, you know what? They spent a long time, because Brother Wade and Brother Dale, they can tell you, you start getting out there baptizing about 5 or 6 people. After that, you know what? You start getting tired. It starts wearing on you. Next thing you know, you got a whole bunch, you know, and that probably took a little while. You get everybody in the water, and all of a sudden it's baptizing one and baptizing another, baptizing another. But you know, that's the work of the Lord. It's not just, well, the praise the Lord, you know what, the Holy Ghost fell and they just, but you think they had to labor. Yep. There was a lot of work that took place that time. Behind the scene, there was a lot of work that took place. There's a lot, you know, because they had to labor with that. Amen. You try to baptize 3,000 people, there's a whole bunch of people out there looking, saying, what are they doing? No doubt there was probably a little crowd that gathered up around the water. You got 3,000 people getting baptized. It's like, how many people do you know that got baptized? Well, you know, John baptized people. You remember that crazy fellow come out of the woods? He was dunking people in the water too. And Jesus, you know, that other fellow, he was out there dunking people in the water too. Yeah. You know, and all of a sudden you start seeing all these crazy people. You know, they all gather around trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, I don't know about y'all, but we got to keep an eye on that group right there. But all of a sudden, you know, they had a testimony. All of a sudden, you know, they began to preach the word and began to live a life before the people that, you know, it wasn't just, hey, we're just trying to teach you something. No, they began to manifest the word. They began to tell about the word. They began to manifest something in front of the people, because all of a sudden there's people like, well, I don't agree with that, but let me tell you something. There's something different about them people. Amen. There's something different about them. You may not agree with it, but you know what? They're not like everybody else. There's power there. And you know, there's lots of people that, you know, they wanted to get away from that. Peter and John, as they were walking in the Word and began to preach and prophesy and began to speak to the people and do miracles, you know, it was like, hey, you can't do that here. You know what? You might do that some other place, but you know what? We're respectable people around here, and we're not going to have any riffraff around here. And we're going to put you in jail, lock you up, beat you up, whatever. You're not going to do that around here. And you know what? And they got, and the scripture tells us that Peter and John and them, when those things happened to them, you know what all it done was it made them more bold. Praise the Lord that I can suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, for the Word. And you know what? You're not going to stop me. I get more excited. I get more energized because of what's taking place. Can you imagine? Can you imagine people today? And I don't want to say because, you know, I'd have to raise both of mine. But you know, when things happen, things come our ways, bad things happen. And you know what? Instead of raising our hands and thanking the Lord, hey, you know what? Praise the Lord that these things come our way. You know, many times we get it. Well, I don't know. Why did that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? You know, here I am trying to do the work of the Lord, and all they're trying to do is hinder me. But you know what? That's what Satan is supposed to do. That's Satan's job. He's supposed to hinder the work of the Lord. However he can. But you know what? It made them more bold. And like, you know what? You can do whatever you want to me. But you know what? When you let us out of here, we're going to go out and we're going to be more bold because we're going to preach more. Why? Because it's the leading of the... Just like those people, the saints that were in China years ago when they first received the message. And, you know, Brother Biscoe and the different ones were over there ministering to them. And, you know, all of a sudden they were so afraid of what the government was going to do to them. And all these, you know, they were so afraid. Well, you know what? After they got locked up and put in jail, when they got out, you know what? There was a boldness that came upon them people. You know what? They praise God. You know what? Because we can suffer for the name of Christ, but you know what? It makes us more bold. Why? Because you know that's what God has called us to be, bold before the people. We've got a testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm not backing up from it. I'm standing firm. I'm going to let everybody know. When those people went, and the saints in China, when they were under persecution and all those, and there was a church over there that, you know, they had gathered, and they kept having, being harassed by the government. You know, they kept having issues for every place that they were meeting and all that. And the pastor stood up one day and he told them, he said, listen, he said, I want everybody to go home and pray. He said, I'm not going to tell you where we're going to have church. He said, let the Lord speak to you. And wherever the Lord tells you, we're going to have church next Sunday, next time, said, you'll show up. He said, we didn't make any plans, but they began to pray. Each one of them began to pray, and because there was some reason that somehow that the government kept finding out what was going on and where they were meeting and all those things. But when they began to pray, then the Lord began to speak to each one of those people. And guess what? Well, at the appointed time, they all showed up for service except for one person. Why? Because it was the one that was against them, the one that was in there. But God led them, and all of a sudden, when they realized, you know what? We've gone through all of this, and all of a sudden, you talk about a boldness that come upon those people. Why? Because God. Because all of a sudden, they realized that God was in their midst. God was leading them, even though they had suffered for all this time and all these problems. But yet, you know what? There was come a time that God began to speak to them and led them to a place that they come out from underneath that. And all of a sudden, they realized, you know what? It's not just some problem or whatever, but God made a way for them. And God led them through. And all of a sudden, they realize there's a boldness that comes. Why? Because we've seen God work in our midst. We've seen God work miracles in our midst. And when you began to see that how God began to work in their midst, all of a sudden it became a boldness upon those people. And they began to express these things to the people and began to let the people know God's real, what God has done for me. When we come through these things, we know that when we receive the Holy Ghost, the new birth is come upon us, then we realize that there's a child training, and that, you know, we have to grow up. There's a training that goes through. And, you know, Brother Brown talked about in the restoration of the bride tree, he was talking about the young man that was going through his training. And he said the newsman was following him. He was out there and he's talking about the machine gun fire going over his head. And he was talking about the sand in his pocket and all that kind of stuff. And he said he was going through all that rigid training. He said, that's what we're doing here. We're going through rigid training. Why? Because he said there's a battlefield out there, but we got to go through training now to get ready for that battle, because we don't know what's going to come our way. But God is training us to be weapons of the warfare of the spirit, spiritual warfare of Jesus Christ. That we are to be soldiers of the army of God. Well, you know, we have to go through these things, and you know, we don't understand why we have to go through these things. But praise God, Brother Bram said that God knows how to train a man. He knows exactly what you need to go through to make you into the person that you ought to be. You know, we go through these things, and you know, I was talking about, you know, Brother Andre was in the Marines, and you know, one of the things we was talking about when I was up there, you know, you talk about, you know, Brother Donnie said one time, and I've told many people this, Brother Donnie said one time, he said, you know, you go through the Marine Corps, you become a Marine. He said, whatever they teach you to do, he said, if you'll just follow what they tell you to do, all you got to do is follow exactly what, and you can do whatever they tell you to do. It may look so impossible to you, but all you got to do is come to the place that, because you, if you get into the Marines and you go through the training, they make it in your mind that you follow exactly what they tell you to do, and you get to the place that you can believe what they tell you that you can do. And all you got to do is follow what they tell you and how to do it. And guess what? You'll overcome. You'll do whatever they tell you that you can do. You know, it says, you know, to adapt and improvise and overcome. Whatever you come against, whatever you do, if you follow the plan, you'll overcome. And it's the same way, brothers and sisters, with the plan of Jesus Christ, with the Word of God. You can overcome, and there's a way made, but you come through that training. If you just follow that plan, you will overcome, but there's a way made, already made. The way is already made, but all you got to do is believe it and walk in it. If you will just walk in that way, if you will follow the plan, you'll overcome. Why? Because that's what he wants us to do, to have confidence in God, in the Word. He wants us to have confidence in these things, that we can believe what God said is true, and all we got to do is believe it, and then we can walk in it. Here he is. This is from the message, Why Cry? Speak, Brother Ram, speaking of Moses, and he's talking about going through all this training. And he said, you know, he at one time, he said, standing in the presence of the anointing, in the presence of a burning bush, he said he knew more about God than he learned in books in the 80 years of his life. God trains a man and then anoints him, gives him experience, takes him through the rigorous training, right down through the sands of a burning punishment, trying and testing. Not only does he do that to his prophets, he does that to his children. Every son that cometh to God must be chastised and tried, tested by his word. See, then the pinch comes, the strong time. When it comes, when he faces death, you are able to stand there on the word of God. See, God said so, that settles it. So when you go through these things, it looks so hard and they're so tough and whatever it may be. But you know, if you follow the plan that God has laid out, then you're able to overcome. Whatever, you know, many times we go through lots of training, but you know, it may be only for one time, but you know what? I would rather, just like the man that, you know, the lady that Brother Ram talks about, you know, she just rented that barn and she got everything ready to have one church service because it was so burning upon her heart to have one church service to evangelize the city. And, you know, she cleaned everything up, got everything ready, and hired a preacher to have one service. Why? Because that was her goal, to reach out to the lost, because it was burning on her heart to do that. Why? Because they were lost and dying everywhere. And she went in there to have a church service, and only one person showed up. Right. Well, you know what? Everybody else would have looked at that and said, well, you know what? That was an utter failure. That was a waste of time. Why would you do that? But you know what? They didn't realize that the young man that walked into that night and received the Holy Ghost, received the Lord and I got saved to come into the kingdom of God that night was Dwight Moody. Here was D.L. Moody. And what did Brother Bram said? Hundreds and thousands were saved under his ministry. He brought thousands to the Lord under his ministry. But what was it? They didn't see that. They didn't see the they didn't see a long range vision. They didn't see them through the eyes of faith. They didn't see what was going to take place. All they could see was just some little old woman that was just, maybe she didn't have two nickels to rub together, but she spent all she had doing whatever she could to rent that little barn and have a service, and only one person showed up and said, I wouldn't have wasted my time to do that. Well, you know what? If we could see through the eyes of faith, if we could see in that other dimension to see what was taking place, then you know what? How many people would have stood up and said, I want to be there. I just swap places with her. Why? Because she had to do nothing. And it was just that one little thing that took place. And in the midst of all that, when that took place, then what happened? Look. Many times we fail to see that what God has called us to do, just small things, just the minor things, yet we don't realize how much of an impact it will take place. What kind of eternal impact these things are going to have. You know, you think about when the widow woman there was, and Elijah, when he was sitting down there by the brook Cherith, and you know, and the ravens were feeding him, and he was sitting there, and everything was drying up in Egypt and Israel, and everything was, you know, drying up, and there was nothing there, and all the curse upon everybody. When Elijah told him, he said, listen, he said, it won't rain until I call for it. Because the sin that y'all have committed here, that God has brought this upon y'all. And they're standing there, and in the midst, all those people are dying, trying to make a living, trying to scrape by, trying to do what they can to survive. And yet the prophet is sitting down by the brook Cherith, and you know what? He's drinking out of the brook, and the ravens are feeding him. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you're in Christ, there's a place that God will bring you to. And sometimes, you know, like I've said it before, sometimes we go through things in our life. We don't know why things happen the way they do. Sometimes we're sitting at the brook Cherith and we don't even realize it. God's brought us to a place. He's feeding you. He's taking care of you. He wants you to be in this place as a place of refreshment, a place of rejuvenation that you come into. Sometimes God don't want us always up and going and doing things. Sometimes it's just quiet. And then when the brook dried up, he went down there to the widow woman. He's down there having a great time, supernatural meetings going on. And she was drying up, trying to make a living, dying. And here she is down there and trying to make by. And when the prophet comes down there and speaks to her, he says, hi, can I get a drink of water? You know, she didn't have a problem with that. But when it came to giving that morsel of bread, can you bring me a morsel of bread in your hand? She had a problem with that. Listen, I ain't got nothing. I just got some leftovers over here. Ain't much of nothing left. So I got two sticks. We're going to build a fire. We're going to make up the rest of this. We're going to eat it and die. You see everybody all around us? Everything dried up. You know how many people we know that have already died? Can you see all the devastation going on? Well, I've seen all that. And you know what? He didn't run up there and tell her, listen, I want to tell you something. I've seen the supernatural. I had the ravens come feed me. He didn't tell her any of that. But he told her, he said, listen, if you will give me that little cake first, just that little bit first, if you're willing to part with a little bit, he said, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see the miracle of God. You're going to see the working of God. If you'll just do this one little piece right here, he said, the barrel's never going to run out. The cruise will never run dry. Everybody else is going to be missing. But you know what? You're going to have enough to sustain you all these years. If you can just take this one little part, if you're willing to do your little part, and you know what? She's like, I can do that. Because you know what? She's like, I got nothing to lose. I could stand here and hold on to what I got, but you know what? She's like, you know what? I'm going to die anyway. But you know what? There is a way made, and I can take it by faith. And believe, if I believe this, you know what? There's a way that I could live. It's like, well, I'm going to take you at your word. and made that one little cake for him and brought that water, and he was able to eat that. By what she gave, by her faith in that little portion, then, you know, we think, well, that's very insignificant, but it meant a lot to her. And through that one little bit that was given, then through that, she was able to be sustained. Amen. Just imagine, every day, she just given that one little morsel of bread, but every day she would go in there, more devastation, more death, more heartache. All the problems that was there in Egypt, I mean Israel, when she was going through all of that. And but you know what? She would go back in the kitchen and open that meal barrel, and you know what? It was still in there. Scoop it out. Turn up that crucible. Start making her bread. There's nothing in there now. Go back in there the next morning. Take that lid off. It's in there. Scoop it up. If we have faith to believe God, what can we do? What could we do if we just had, if we just believe, took God at His word? You know what? You're not going to convince people. That's just like Sister Dale was talking about when Brother Dale was sick, and she came up here and was giving that testimony. You know, the Lord came in that room. He was in the floor. Somebody put him on that bed. Somebody come in that room. But you know what? She stood there, and those paramedics were there. Well, told Lisa, it's like, who? You know, what happened? Well, I don't know. Which, of course, she did. But she wasn't going to tell them because they wasn't going to believe her. We were just in the presence of the Almighty. And you know what? The supernatural took place in this room right now. Then they had to start looking for, you know. It's like, we need to refer the psychiatrist. Why? Because they're not going to believe that. Why? Because they don't. But you know what? If you believe in the supernatural, if you know the same God that I know, if you know what's taking place in your life, then you know what supernatural is. And you know what? He's here every single day of your life. He'll wake up in the morning with you. He'll go through with you all night long. He'll go through the day with you. And He's always there to work a miracle. There's always there to do whatever needs to be done. You know, I was telling them up there, that, Brother Andres, you know, I was telling about, you know, the things that's taken place in our lives. We've seen these supernatural things that's taken place. And if you could just see the supernatural, believe the supernatural, what God has done, you'll be amazed. You know, I was telling about when I was working years ago at this company, we was doing robotic arc welding, and I was looking for, we was trying to find a jig that, you know, held all the parts together, and the robot does all the welding. So jig fits all the pieces together. Well, we were trying to find one so we could finish the job. That's all we had to do for the day. And we went looking everywhere trying to find that one jig. Well, there were several racks that had all these jigs because some of them was nearly as big as this, you know, the top of this pulpit here. You know, some of them were smaller, but some of them were big according to what size the parts were. And, you know, we had all these racks everybody was sitting on. Well, everybody had a plate on the bottom that had the number written on it. And everybody was going by, was trying to find this one, had a certain look to it. Everybody was going through all those racks, standing there, looking up and down, trying to, like, where is that rack? That jig, we cannot find it. But you know, standing there that day, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know we need this jig. I need to know where it's at. I don't know where it's at, but you do. And God is my witness. I stood there and I prayed and the Lord led me. He just pointed me in that direction. I just had the unction to go that direction. I climbed on top of that rack and there it was. And everybody's like, where was that? It's like people had climbed all over that thing trying to find that, looking everywhere for it. And yeah, but you know, everybody had overlooked that thing. And for some reason they couldn't find it. But you know what? God knew it and He gave me the eyesight and He gave me the understanding that if I trusted Him and I asked Him for it, then He would show me where it was at. And we say, well, you know, just the simple things like that. Why? Because God wants us to be, just to understand that He's mindful of the little things in our lives. Why was when Brother Branham was standing there on the lake and he was with, I think Brother Woods and them, when he was up there and you know, and the Lord began to deal with him and in the third pool, and he was standing there talking, and he'd seen that fish die, and he pulled all his guts out, and he was laying there. Why did God heal a little fish when he said had all of those young, all those little kids, all those spastic kids, all those kids that were so sick? Why was all those kids that had all those afflictions upon them? And you know what? God didn't touch any of them, but he touched a little fish on a lake. Why? Because he said God was showing that he was mindful even of the little things. Not just the big things, but the little things in your life. If you can just imagine the little things in your life. Just like when we lost those truck keys, the van keys that time on the job, and we looked everywhere trying to find those set of keys. And you know, I tell it many times, and you know, but I still thank the Lord. Why? Because it, like Moses, like God told Moses, he said, write a book of remembrance. And he said, and rehearse these things in the ears of Joshua. Why? Because it was something. Why? Because Joshua was going to take the people into the land. Why? Because they were going to overcome. And I wanted to say, I thought about Sister Barbara wanting everybody to send their testimonies in. Why? Because there's a book of remembrance to be written, and you can, those testimony, those things, to know about these things, that you, if you know about what was taking place and what God has done, what God has done in people's life, then you know what? You stand up, and it's like Brother Ryan talking about the different testimonies that he's written over the years about what's taking place. Why? To know about those things. What has God done in your life? What God? Because you know what? There's one thing that I was wanting to share. Why did God do these things? You know, because if God has called us to this place, why did God call us to this? You know, it's not just for me, because you know what it is for us as an individual to bring us to a place. But let me tell you something, it's for us as a body. For as we read tonight, every portion of the body has a portion to do. Each one of us have something to do, and we all have to work together. Amen. Brother Brown was speaking in the message, and see, he was speaking in the message of total deliverance here. And he said, I wonder this morning as Christians, if we have yielded our own will and wielded ourselves so completely to God, till God can trust us the place that he has put us. I wonder this morning of myself if I could be so yielded to God till God can trust me, could trust Brother Neville, could trust our trustee board, our deacon board, our members of our church. He said, we all have a place and we got a duty. And he's talking about what a minister's place is. And he's talking about, just continue on down to 53, just keep on scrolling up there. And he's talking about the church, and he says, God gives complete deliverance. And he says, he will do it if we'll completely surrender ourselves to him. If we will completely deliver ourselves into his hand, then God can live in us Christ, the hope of glory. He can reflect himself from us as we get ourselves out of the way. Then our thoughts are his thoughts. He said, could you imagine Christ smoking a cigar? Could you imagine Christ drinking or playing cards? Then if your spirit is part of his spirit, then he wants it to be upon your confession. But you permit the devil to come in and take over, and all the time in your heart, way down deep, you know you're wrong when you do those things. He said, when one member would talk against the other member, you know that's wrong. You're commanded to pray for one another, not to talk against one another, but to love one another. And if someone is down, let's pick him up, help him. Now that makes us a unified group of believers. Now when we don't obey that, when we don't obey God, we displease God, and therefore our church, our people cannot prosper. The church cannot go on because we're disunified together. As Jesus said, a little leaven leaveneth the lump. And so we all have these portions to do, but we all got to do what God wants us to do. You know, because we can allow these things to come in. And you know, just as many times we go through the scripture and all the different ones aching and different ones come to mind, you look at the scripture, and when you don't follow the plan of God, if you don't follow the leading of the Lord, you know what? Then everybody fails. There's a total failure in the, but if we all work together, if we all are unified, because we don't have any big I's and little U's, but we all have the same common goal. You know, I was thinking about when NASA decided, you know, when they first started the space program under Kennedy, you know, they were going to put a man on the moon. That was their goal. You know, when those scientists and those engineers come together and they were going to beat the Russians, because, you know, the Russians had already got ahead of us, and they were already in space and all those things. But, you know, they were young men that had raised up, and, you know, they were, some of them would come out of the military and everything like that, but, you know, they all worked together. Some of them had specialties in certain things and certain things, but you know what? They worked in the specialty that God had called, that they had, say, like, listen, I went to school for this. I'm good at this. Then everybody had to do their own part. Because what they were, and you know what? They did work together, and you know what? There wasn't no egos filling up the room. Why? Because they had one common goal, and that was to put a man on the moon. That was their goal. And you know what? They didn't care what it took. They were going to work their way through it. And you know, they all got together. So, you know what? Because the problems that they come up against, you know what? They weren't problems. They were opportunities to advance. They had opportunities to overcome. I got to listen to a man by the name of Dr. William Lenore, and he worked for NASA. And he's actually flew on the space shuttle. And he was talking about that because he was there one of the first that, when Kennedy gave the, you know, the commission, when he laid it out there that what we were going to do. And he said, you know, all these men had been to school, had doctorate degrees and all kinds of things, physics and engineering and all this. But you know what? Those men, they come together, and you know what? They were just so energized that they were going to do this. Nobody had ever done this thing before. But you know what? They conceived it in their mind that they could do it. And you know what? They done it. That's all they had to do. They had to believe that they could do it. And you know what? It didn't matter. It's like, well, you've got this issue. You got this issue. That didn't stop them. Nope. Right, bro. Amen. Like, wait, we're gonna do it. And they done it. Yep. And it's the same thing with you and I, brothers and sisters. When things come our way, we don't understand why things have to be. Brother Brandon was speaking here in the message. I'm going to read this one. This is from the message, Total Deliverance. And Brother Bram speaking, he was speaking of the church. And he was talking about Jeffersonville and talking about them wanting to build a church and go through different things. And, you know, he said, well, I don't see why we need to build a church. Now, I'm not preaching this because this is trying to, you know, let somebody know something. I don't got any axes to grind or points to make or anything like that. I'm just telling you what Brother Branham's talking about. But I want to make this one point by what Brother Branham is saying. But you know, he said I didn't know why we'd need a church. But he said, I come down and he said, I saw the spirit of the people, their desire. And he said, when I got in there and he said, then I come down. And I felt the feeling of the church, that the church and the minority seemed to want it. Then he said, what did I do? He said, I sacrificed my own thoughts and thrown in with the church. Sure, let's do it. That's the way we cast lots. That's the way it is in the Bible time, the way the church voted, the sovereignty, the groups of the people, they come together in unity, their strength. So I said, certainly, if that's the way the church wants, if that's what God is wanting, he's got more of authority to vote amongst a group of people than he has to me, because I've no vision to say that it shouldn't be. So we throw in with the church and move with the church, and I'm behind it to do all that I can see to help out the church. You know, I was reading that, and that just jumped off the page at me. Because, you know, here's Brother Brandon talking about, you know, I just don't see why we need to do this. But he said, the churches want in. He said, if that's what God is wanting, he said, certainly, he said, he's got more authority to vote amongst the people than he has with me. And you know the reason that stood out to me was because, you know, you think so many years that when Brother Branham was here, it's like, you know, Brother Branham, should I buy a car? Brother Branham, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, should I eat cereal in the morning? You know, I mean, so many people, they want to hold on to Brother Branham for every single thing. No matter how small or insignificant it was, it meant something to them because they wanted to get Brother Branham's idea for everything. Right. We're not going to do nothing. You know, if Brother Branham said we all should hop into church on one foot, you know, that's what they'd do. But I mean, but here's Brother Branham said, you know what? If I don't see that and the Lord, and that's what the people are wanting and that's what the Lord is working, then you know, the Lord has the ability, God has the ability to work through the people, to speak to the people, to work as a unified group, that they would vote in the way that needs to be voted. And the Lord don't have to tell me what needs to be done. Brother Branham, how are you going to vote on this? Well, Brother Branham said he's not going to vote for a church, and I'm not going to vote for a church. Instead of praying and seeking the mind of God and getting your answer. And, you know, we've got people, you know, and you know them, and I you know, around the ranks and the ranks of the message. And, you know, even people want to hang on to Brother Dale. And, Brother Dale, what should I do? What should I do? And you know, so many times I appreciate a pastor that stands up, and so many times he stand up and say, "You need to get an answer from God for yourself." He's not your Holy Ghost. Now he can always point things out, and sometimes you know he'll never tell you yes or no, but sometimes he'll just come up and he'll make one statement to you, and he'll make you think. And then you'll go away thinking about that. And you'll contemplate what he said. But it's not an answer. But it's an avenue for you to think. Why? Because you need to pray. And you need to get an answer from God. It's not whether his answer is right. It's what your answer is. And I thought that was so amazing. If we work as a unified body, then you know what? I need to pray. Because my portion is in this body. Then if we're going to have an effectual working body of Christ, then I've got to do my part. Amen. Then I need to seek God for myself. I need to take care of myself. You know why? Because when I do what I'm supposed to do, it's a benefit to everybody. Amen. Then it benefits the body. It benefits the church. Then we all need to, instead of, you know, you know, like I've told the brothers before, you know, whatever goes, I'm behind you. Hey, if Brother Dale stays the pastor in another 5 years, praise God, I'm behind him. If we vote Brother Wade in or somebody else in, praise God, I'm going to be behind him. Why? Because, you know, like I told you before, it's not a person. It's not a personality. It's the leading of the Lord. It's the Holy Ghost. And guess what? If the Holy Ghost that you have is the same Holy Ghost that I have, then guess what? We should be going in the same direction. And if you don't get an answer, but you know what? Like Brother Bram said, through the body, if a vote comes a certain way, then you know what? I didn't agree with that. I don't like that. Well, then you know what? We need to put our feelings behind us. We don't need any of that, because you know that's not going to benefit the body. So we need to find out what our part is. We need to find out what our position is, what God is wanting us to do. And if we'll do our part, then we can be a benefit to everybody. You know, I was thinking about so many times Brother Branham standing up, and you know, he would go to have a prayer line. And you know, here he is standing in the prayer line, and he's standing behind the pulpit, and he said, "Well, you know who I'm waiting on." And he begins to speak so many times. He began to speak of the supernatural, and he's began to speak about things taking place. But he always tells them, "Listen, you don't have to come across this platform. You don't need me to lay hands on you." He said, "You don't have to come to a revival. You don't have to go to Brother Roberts' meetings or A.A. Allen or somebody else. You don't have to go and have them lay hands on you." How many times did he say up? He said, "Your pastor, if he's ordained of God to preach the gospel, he can lay hands on you." He said, you don't need somebody else. He said, if you're a child of God, you can lay hands on people. You don't have to wait on somebody else. Why? Because you've been given that commission. That's your part. How many, you know, when Brother Brown was speaking of that young lady that was the mother that was there, and you know, she was holding that baby and she had a prayer card, but that God laid it upon that woman's heart to pray for that baby and sit there, and you know, she couldn't get away from that. Why? Because God had given her a commission, had given her something to do. Now she had every reason in the world why she shouldn't do that. And she battled that in her mind. So, well, Brother Bram's going to pray for her. I don't know why. But you know what? God wouldn't let her away from that. Let her free of that. Why? Because he wanted her to do something. And he began to speak to her. You do this. And said, well, can I hold the baby? And then she was holding it. Well, sister, do you mind if I pray for it? Said, the Lord's not just going to let, he's not going to let me free of this thing until I do this. And so, well, sure, sister, go ahead. And you know, she gave up her seat. She prayed for the baby. She went and go sit in the balcony. And here's Brother Random standing there, and the angel of the Lord standing there, and you know, all the supernatural's working. You know, the spirit of the Lord's moving there in the platform. Here she comes with the baby, and Brother Random discerns the situation. He's like, you know what? This baby's already healed. And so that sister up there in the balcony, she was down here, and she was over there, and she prayed for the baby. And said, the Lord healed it when she prayed. She didn't have to wait on me to pray because she took care of it. Because God gave her the unction to do that. And said, listen, said she done that. Why? Because she was a mother and she could enter in. She could enter in for that child. He said, maybe I wouldn't have been able to. But that woman could because she's a mother. And what was it? It was showing how significant that God is and how significant it is so important for us to be led by the Spirit and listen to what God has called us to do and do that. It doesn't make us big, but it makes us so important in the body to do what God has called us to do. You know, you think of the woman in Memphis, the sister in Memphis. Here she is standing there with a dying son in this little room, you know, this little shack down in the back skirts of Memphis. And, you know, she may not have anything, but you know what? She knew who God was. She knew who to get in touch with. And here, you know, it's so amazing when you begin to read the story of that as she, you know, Brother Branham's there, and all of a sudden Brother Branham's flying by in a plane. All of a sudden, God grounds that plane in Memphis. And, you know, he spends the night, he gets up, mails his letters, and the Lord begins to speak to him and tell him, you need to leave, you need to go. Begins to lead him, and he's like, you know, he goes, stands in the window, you know, looking at the cop, and he's looking in the window, and he's praying, Lord, is that you? Is this what you want me to do? And all of a sudden, the Lord's telling him, keep walking. You keep walking. So he starts walking down through there. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Here he is. He keeps walking. He keeps walking. He keeps walking. Brother Andre said he walked about 4 or 5 miles. I don't know. I know it was quite a ways, but he just kept walking. Here he is just walking along. He didn't know where he was going. But he seen that black sister standing down there by the fence. Rag tied around her head. Standing there, wet from the dew. She was standing there. You know what? Here come her answer. Brother Bram didn't know what he was doing, but she did. When he walked by, good morning, parson. Let me tell you what. I bet she felt like she wasn't even touching the ground. She go to tell Brother Branham. You know what's so amazing about that story? I'm sure y'all have heard this before. But what's so amazing about that story? Elisha was standing there one day, and he was out there, and he said, yonder's that Shunammite woman, and she's coming. And the Lord has kept it from me what her need is. But here she comes. But he knew she was troubled, but he didn't know what her problem was. And here comes Brother Branham the same way. She said, I'm just like that Shunammite woman. He said, where is Elijah? She was looking for him. Here he come walking down through there. She knew what was going to take place. When she began to speak, say, when Gehazi goes down there and says, is all well? Is the family all right? Is your son all right? All is well. All is well. Everything's okay. But you know what? She went and grabbed a hold of the feet of the prophet. She got a hold of him. Brother Bram didn't know where he was going. Elijah didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what was going to take place. But all of a sudden, it was made known. And he said, Auntie, do you know my name? I'm Reverend Branham. I pray for the sick. No, Barson, I've never heard of you. I'm just seeking the salvation of my son. He's dying and he needs salvation. That's what I want. He thinks he's lost on the sea, and he needs salvation. And in the midst of all that, as he was down there, and he didn't know where he was at, didn't know what was going to take place. But he stood there that night, and that day, and he was standing there, and he walked in that little house, and he said, I went into king's palaces, and all those, you know, the great rich man's places, he said, but not a house like that. And he said, Auntie, pray. You pray first. And he said, man, let me tell you what, if there's anybody ever talked to the Lord, that woman knew who God was. To know that Brother Branham was coming, what he looked like, that he had a satchel, all the things. Brother Branham didn't know where he was going. But he was following the leading of the Lord. Come in the house, and man, that was prayer went down that day. And then all of a sudden, he just put his hands on that boy's feet, and he said, Lord, I don't even know why I'm here. Don't even know where I'm supposed to be. He said, the plane's probably already gone by now. But he laid hands on that boy's feet, and he began to pray, Lord, I don't know, but this boy needs a touch from you. You've seen this woman's desire. Brought me all this way. I don't know if this is it, Lord, but I'm praying for this young man because he definitely needs a touch. As he began to pray, not knowing everything, but just following the leading of the Spirit, then all of a sudden that voice starts yelling, oh, mama, it's getting light in here. It's getting light in here. It's getting light in here. He said by the time he got ready to walk out, that young man was sitting on the side of the bed, and he took off running, trying to get to the airport. And you know what? He was so worried. You know, well, I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to get home now. That plane's probably already gone. You know what? That plane stayed grounded that whole time. Yeah. Off of one woman's faith. Yeah. Amen. Some insignificant woman. But you know what? God was mindful of her. Amen. And it went all that way. Yeah. And brothers and sisters, it's the same thing with you and I. When Brother Brandon was standing there in the prayer lines and he began to speak, what was he trying to do? He was trying to build people's faith, trying to get people to understand Jesus Christ is here. He is here right now to meet your needs. But you know what? He's the same one that promised it back there. The same one that walked on the Sea of Galilee, the shores of Galilee. All those things are written in the Bible. He's the same one tonight. He's standing here tonight to meet your needs. To lead whatever you have need of, he's here. And you know, all of those stories that he told to build the people's faith. Wanting you to realize who you are and what you can do. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you know, your testimony is a faith builder to everyone else. We hear that, you know, and I, like I told my brother Andres, you know, sometimes we have testimonies, and you know, sometimes the Lord, you know, sometimes we just feel an unction to we need to get up and testify. But you know, sometimes, well, I don't know. You know, and sometimes we need to get up and give God praise. We need to thank God for what he's done. To know what God has done in our lives. When we've seen miracles, just like, you know, I think about Sister Frieda and different ones. You know, when the Lord has come and touched you and done miracles in your life, then you know what? You need to get up and tell everybody that. Amen. Why? Because the same one that was here, that touched Sister Frieda, that touched Brother Dale, is the same one here today, and he's here to meet your needs. Amen. Well, wherever you are, you say, Lord, I need to be, you know, we think about what, as Brother Dale's, Brother Wade's been preaching on the stature of a perfect man. And you start to come up and say, you know, I'm lacking on these things. I come to the place. You know what? Because God, that's the grace of God in our lives to speak to us to realize, you know what? You're not where you need to be. When you come to the realization, you know what? I need more virtue. I need more knowledge. I need more temperance. I need more patience. I need more godliness. Well, then you know what? When he starts to call out to you and identify, listen, you're short there. You're short there. Then you know what? Then he's all, because he's doing that, for you to realize it's time for you to come and there's more for you to receive. Because you're coming through these things, because he's trying to build these things, this character, these virtues in you. And sometimes we wonder why things come our way. Why? Because we don't see the end result. The trying of our faith is more precious than gold.
Amen.
How wonderful. What a loving God. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen. Well, God bless you this evening. Y'all stand. We'll have the musicians come. And I'm going to sing that little song. What a lovely name. The name of Jesus. Reaching high or far. I don't know what key that's in, but we'll try it. If we don't, we'll just make a joyful noise.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful name. The name of Jesus.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is, Brother Bram said, the name of Jesus is same, is just as effectual.
Amen.
As it ever was. He was speaking of the... I think it was St. Martin and the different ones, different messengers, different things that had happened in their life. He said he's same. He's just as effectual.
Yes. Amen.
It's just as effective tonight as it was back then.
Right.
All the things that those people went through, he's here to do the same thing.
Amen.
Yes, amen. What key are we in? What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, and sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim. What a lovely name. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, and sweeter than the song they sing in heaven. Yes.
Heavenly Father,
you heard our brother's request tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you've done so many miracles for us. Lord, we can't number all of them, Lord. Lord, we bind our faith tonight, Lord, for Nanny, Lord, as she's battling this. But Lord, you said it's already finished. By your stripes, we are already healed. And now we claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord, because if you were standing here right now, you couldn't do more than what you've already done. But Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that Lord, the Holy Ghost will come in that room right now, wherever she's at. And Lord, it'll touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord Jesus. Lord, you'll make yourself real to her. Lord, realizing that she's more than a conqueror through you, Lord. That your grace and mercy is real to her. Lord, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. What a lovely name.
Heavenly Father, you've heard our brother's request, Lord Jesus. Lord, as they travel tomorrow, Lord, I pray that your hand be upon them. Lord, bless them tomorrow. Lord, as they've practiced, Lord, and studied, Lord, we just pray that you just be with them, help them do good. Lord, just bring to their remembrance the things that they've studied. And, Lord, just make them have a good time, Lord. Lord, we commit it to you, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
What a lonely love, Jesus, preaching high and far, and the brightest star, sweeter than saints proclaim, what a lovely name. What a lovely name, oh Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that you're mindful of the little things in our lives. Lord, it might be insignificant to some, Lord, but Lord, you're mindful of the sparrows. Lord, just the small things, the grass and all things, Lord. And Lord, we don't know where it's at, Lord, but you know. And I pray, Lord, you just lead them right to it. You'll show them where it's at. And everything will be okay. Lord, this will be done for your honor and glory. Lord, that we have a testimony. Lord, to stand and say, we've seen God come on the scene and work miracles. Even in little things. And Lord, we thank you for it. Because you said if we would just ask, whatever our desires are, Lord, if we would ask them, you would give them to us. And Lord, so we commit it to you and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In heaven, let the saints proclaim. Touch these bodies, Lord, and minister in a special way. Touch them, Lord, the great physician, come and work on this case, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just call for this one, Lord, that whatever the hindrances are, Lord, we know that you're able to move them out of the way, Lord, to bring us back. Lord, it's your desire for us to be in the house of the Lord, Lord, to have fellowship. Lord, it makes us stronger to be together. Lord, to be a unified body. And so, Lord, we commit it to you. And Lord, we thank you for it because we know it's your promise to us. And Lord, we know so we can thank you for it as it's finished. Because that's your word. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
What a
far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the song they sing, let the saints proclaim.
Home situation, Lord. Lord, you know where they need to be, Lord, and we just pray that you just lead them. Lord, we know that you will. Lord, we have confidence in you. Lord, so we just put our confidence in you, Lord, that you'll make a way. Lord, we don't know when it's going to take place, Lord, but we're just going to be thanking you for it and keep walking forward. And Lord, we know that you'll take care of it. Lord, we know that you'll touch our brother in his body, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know it's a finished work of Calvary. We thank you for it and we believe it. Lord, your word is real and it's true and it's in effect tonight. And Lord, our brother can be touched in his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet before he walks out of this building tonight. And Lord, we thank you for it and we believe it. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. And sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name.
Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. So, God richly bless each one of you. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. And looking forward to Saturday. And I know that some of you know Brother Jack. Some of you may not know Brother Jack, but he's a fine brother.
Amen.
And he has a wonderful gift to sing. And if I don't know about his wife, but I know his daughter can sing. And so we expect to hear some good singing this weekend and hear some good preaching this weekend. So if y'all don't come and get something this weekend, it's your own fault. But we're looking forward to a good time. I hadn't seen Brother Jack in many years, but we appreciate him and appreciate his stand on the word, and looking forward to having a good time. And I also want to say, you know, I was listening to Brother Jack the other day, and they're having youth services coming up at his church. And he said, you know, it's for the young, but for everybody else, we need to come and support our youth. It's our job to come and be. So it's not just everybody. Well, it's just the youth service. Well, you know, we all need to, everybody that can be here, try to be here. So as they say, it's for the young and for the young at heart. So we all come together. We're all going to have a good time and pull, because you know, it's for the youth, but you know, it's to do something. Our testimony is what can help or hinder somebody. So we want to be here and do all that we can. I want to be faithful in what God's called us to. So is there anything else we need to mention? All righty. Well, God bless you tonight. It's wonderful. Appreciate our brother being here with us tonight, Brother Durrett, and enjoyed the singing. And that was good. And so God bless each one of you. Let's just all bow our heads and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again, Lord, for being in your house, Lord, to feel your presence and be amongst one another, and Lord, to gather in heavenly places in you. Lord, we're just so thankful for what you've done for us. Lord, we just can't thank you enough. Lord, there's no words, there's no tongue that'll ever express what you mean. And Lord, we just want to do our very best to try to tell you how much that we love you and appreciate you. Lord, let us just always be faithful in what you've called us to do. And Lord, just be led of the Spirit, Lord. Lord, mold us into your image, Lord. Lord, as the prophet said, we've been invited to be molded into your image, Lord. Father, that's a wonderful invitation, Lord. And as the word goes forth, Lord, may it mold us, Lord. May it cut us. Lord, do what it is designed to do, Lord. Lord, that the world can see Jesus Christ in us. Lord, we just pray for each one as they leave tonight. Lord, bless each one. Lord, give them traveling mercies. Lord, prepare us for this weekend, Lord. We just pray for Brother Jack and them traveling, Lord, and just for the services coming, Lord. And Lord, as the young people come and gather, Father, I pray you do something special in their lives, Lord. Whatever their desires are, Lord, we just pray that you draw them closer to you. Lord, let they see that you're real. But we know that the devil wants to come in and try to hinder them and try to take them out, Lord. But, Lord, there's a place that you can come and put an anchor down. You can put a tie post down, Father, that no winds, no gates of hell, nothing can come against us that'll overtake us. Lord, he can come in like a flood, but, Lord, there's a standard that's raised up. And, Father, we're just so thankful for that, for our young people in this church, Lord. Lord, for their testimonies, I pray that you just continue to touch them. Lord, for the ones that are not here with us tonight, Lord, you know each one that's been listening in. And I pray that you just go and be a special blessing to them, Lord, this week. And, Lord, let's just draw us all closer to you. Lord, we're just so thankful for the ministry that we have here, Lord, all these wonderful brothers, Lord, that I just count it an honor, Lord, to be counted among them. And Lord, I just can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. Lord, we commit ourselves to you as we go. Lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.